joining us this morning. We're glad that you're here with us on this Mother's Day. We just want to say to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day.
Yep.
We also recognize that this is a happy day for a lot of people, but it's a not so happy day for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And we just want to make you aware we are, we understand that. As a matter of fact, I have some very close friends and family that recently lost someone, and it's sad to know that you have that first Mother's Day without that person.
Yeah.
But this is also a time to remember that person. So
absolutely.
We are here with you today, whether it's happy or sad. We're here remembering moms all together.
Yeah.
Right?
And we're happy to have our dear elder friend, Dave Palmer, with us today.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Dave is joined the lion's den.
And, he's taking a chance.
And we're glad to have him with us. If you're online, you don't know who Dave Palmer is, maybe not a member of our congregation. Dave is one of our shepherds, and he is he's a guy you got to get to know, and you don't even have to get to know him to love him. You listen to him talk, you can tell that he is not from Northern Virginia, but his heart is huge, and he loves Jesus. And Dave, welcome aboard, man.
Yeah, thanks, Robin. It's funny you say that about my when I talk, I normally tell everybody, you know, I am from L.A. They always say Louisiana, and I say, no, Lower Alabama. But anyway, it's great to be here with you guys. Just super excited to have a conversation. And of course, happy Mother's Day to my mom, to Lori. And we have that mixed emotion in our household. We lost Lori's mom in 2001. So it's always that mixed emotion in our family on Mother's Day. So. But happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
And it's this is one of those times where we are bringing in Dave for the first time. And it's funny because Dave has his notes here. He's ready. We don't ever use notes. But it's funny. We started just talking together, and Dave found out what it's like. We just share
great.
Our hearts. And I hope that as people are listening, as you guys are listening this morning, when we get up here, we're truly just sharing our hearts with you. We're pulling out God's word, and we're digging into what it has to say to us, because this, it hits us as hard as it hits you, trust us, when we're talking about it. Today, I promise you that you're going to enjoy this conversation. I used a very emphatic word there, because we're going to talk. So, what you know, we throw words like that around a lot. You know, I promise you.
Yeah.
Why do we think that we have to throw those sorts of words around when we're saying things?
Ooh.
Well, I when I was a kid and we would say, I swear, we would, no, don't say I swear, don't say I swear. We do that because we think that if I say, I promise, or I swear upon this, you know, court of law, I solemnly swear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it applies an extra weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more trustworthy if I put that on there.
You know, it's kind of funny. I've never been in jury duty or in that situation where I had to testify in a court. But like I was sharing with you guys earlier, I have taken an oath twice in my lifetime. In February of 1986, I took an oath when I enlisted in the United States military. I even brought a copy this morning because it really makes me think about that. And then again in 1988, when I became an officer in the military, I took an oath, you know, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign, domestic, and, you know, to uphold those values and to the best of my ability. And so help me God, which is how those both end. And I think it's interesting that we have that emphasis at the end that God has to help me do that with an oath.
By his power.
By his power.
You would be able to do that. And it's interesting, as we get into the passage here today, this is something, oaths are something spoken of throughout Scripture. Not just in one spot here, one spot there, but throughout. And we're going to dig into why, because there's a deeper meaning there, and there's a reason why Jesus is getting into this. So let's read from Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 33 through 37. Okay? Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black or none at all. let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Man. And you kind of read that and you're going, okay, is Jesus saying don't take oaths? That's not what Jesus is trying to address here. He's addressing, just like everything we've been talking about so far up to this point, he's addressing the heart.
Yep.
What is your intent behind this swearing, this oath that you're taking? And as we read this, we start realizing how much in our normal language we do this.
Yeah, we kind of think that this is one of those things on the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, anger, yes, and maybe lust, but this is one of them we go, well, we don't make oaths. Yes, we do.
All the time.
Yeah. I was telling the guys earlier that, Jesus is talking about a conglomeration of Old Testament commands. It's not just like pulling out a specific one of the Ten Commandments. You know, there is the don't not bear false witness. But it's a mixture of all of that where people would trying to make an oath and they would say, I swear upon the name of Yahweh. Yeah. So, for example, this is the example I gave them and follow trek with me for a second. But it was like an olive farmer, and he had this olive grove that he was growing all these olives, but his neighbor was also an olive farmer. And when it came harvest time, all the olives come off the trees, but his neighbor stuffs his with pimentos and his Passover time, and they all go crazy, and they sell out like wildfire. Well, his olives don't sell as well, so there's a little jealousy there. Well, then the neighbor's donkey disappears one day. And he goes to the leaders in the town, the officials and the elders, and he goes, look, my neighbor stole my donkey, because he knows he's jealous. He said, he stole my donkey. I know for a fact. I swear on Yahweh, on the name of Yahweh, that he stole my donkey. And then come to find out, like, his cousin borrowed it to, you know, plow the fields or something. And so what he's done is he has profaned the name of God. And the whole thing was, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not misuse God's name for your own selfish purposes.
Yep. And that's the point.
And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And so what they did was, instead of swearing on the name of God, they start swearing on these other things, like the temple and Jerusalem.
The gold of the
and your
temple.
Head. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all these things. So it was what can I do to make something weighty just to appease my own desires?
Right.
Yeah. It's all about me again.
Took those oaths as in the military. What did they mean to you?
Well, I think one of the things I thought about is that it really felt heavy. So all of a sudden, I am saying that I will, me. Of course, being a Christian man, you know, to me it was with God's help, that I'm going to do everything within my ability to perform these in a way that would bring honor to the military.
Right, right.
To God. And to my family, you know, I'm really putting myself out there that I can do this. And that was a big deal to me. I mean, I can, even at this moment, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wow, you know, there was a lot of responsibility when you take that oath that's placed upon you.
Yeah. So. And a part of all that is, back to the heart of the matter, is dealing with this idea that I am who I am. Mm-hmm. What I say is a part of who I am, and it maintains that. Even when people are not watching me, or when they are watching me, I'm the same person there that I am here. It's a matter of integrity. Yeah. I am who I am and who I say I am. God, when he proclaimed who he was before Moses, all he had to say was, I am. Yeah. And he wants us to get to a place where that's who we are. Yeah. I am his. And all that I say and do, I'm going to proclaim him by my actions and my words. And our words count. Our words matter. Yeah. We spend a lot of time saying these sorts of things. And back to what Dave was saying a minute ago, those of us that are married, we've all said some oaths and vows. Are we going to maintain those oaths, those vows, till the day we die?
Yeah.
And am I... who I say I am in those vows. They go deep. There's a lot of vows that we hear people say, and we hear it in the church a lot.
Oh,
and I want to address a couple of those this morning as I was thinking about this, how we do this and how I have done it personally.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get on myself here for a moment.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to put this on anybody else. I'm going to say Phil has done these two particular ones. Okay? First one is this. I know no one else watching this has ever done this. But to be talking to someone, they're sharing their struggles and their pains and their needs, and you say this, I'm going to pray for you about that. What did I just do? What did I just say? Yeah. I made a vow.
You made a vow.
I made an oath to that person. Yeah. I'm going to pray for you about this. And I know, again, I know that no one else has ever done this. I've walked away and forgotten.
Yeah.
Or didn't do it whatsoever. And I realized this about myself two or three years ago that I was doing that. And I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And so now I find myself doing this more now. I say, why don't we pray about that? And we start right then.
Yeah.
We say a prayer right then and there. And even if it's on the phone, we were talking about that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's on the phone, to say, let's pray about that now.
Yeah.
The other, so just something for us to think about. That's a possible vow or oath that we share that could be with the wrong right intent, bad follow through.
Yeah. Execution.
So one of the greatest writers and people who've written on spiritual formation probably in the last 100 years was Dallas Willard.
Oh,
and his book, Divine Conspiracy, is one that I try to read probably every 2 years just because it's so formative. And he has this section, it's about 200 pages, right in the middle, it's the meat of the book on the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about this section. I want to read this to you, and maybe a little dense, but just trek with me for a second. Yep. The essence of swearing or making oaths is to try to use something that, though impressive, is irrelevant to the issues at hand to get others to believe you and let you have your way. This is wrong. It is unlike God. And just making sure you perform on any promises made to God in the course of it, the old rightness, does not make it right. Of course, you should keep promises you make to God in any circumstances, but the wrongness of swearing lies deeper. We are making use of people trying to bypass their understanding and judgment to trigger their will and to possess them for our purposes.
Yep.
Whatever consent they give to us will be uninformed because we have short-circuited their understanding of what is going on.
No, we've never done anything.
Is that you come down to this, and what Jesus is trying to say is that, once again, if we love God and we love other people, then we are going to be truthful people of our word, people who speak with their goodness and mine, not my own. And generally what I'm doing when I throw out things like, well, you know, God told me this, I'm looking for my own intent.
Yeah, that's
right. I'm going to say, but
you know, we in the church, people say things like this a lot.
Yeah.
Well, the Spirit has told me to do this. Mm-hmm. God has told me to do this. It's sometimes making a decision, or sometimes it is in the way of telling a person what you want them to do. But what I would say is, if we're going to invoke the God Almighty, we better sure hope that is exactly what he spoke to us, because now he's holding us accountable to that statement.
Yeah.
And it's a huge it could mean us separating ourselves from him, mainly because he didn't say it. And so we're drawing ourselves away from him by the very words we're saying. So these sorts of things can, it's like the kid who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Remember that story? I remember that growing up, and the kid goes out and he says, the wolf is coming, the wolf is coming. And all the townspeople come out and with their rods and everything to kill the wolf, no wolf. And this continues to happen until they realize that that kid is not a person of integrity. And when the wolf finally did come, then they didn't come out to protect and help. And so at some point, we have to realize that people start catching on when our vows mean nothing, when they're empty vows.
Yeah.
And I think that there's, you know, we've all seen pictures of an iceberg.
Yep.
You see a part of it that's above the water. When the pictures they've taken that are below the water, you see how deep it goes.
I think
part of the issue is that we are afraid of what other people will think of us. And so we will decide that, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to embellish my story, or I'm going to embellish who I am because I'm really afraid, are they going to like me? It's a verbal cover-up that somehow with our words that we think that we can mask what's really going on deep in the surface. It's like the bully in the grade school. Yep. Everybody, there were bullies. We didn't have milk money, but they were bullies, and they threatened to beat you up and all this stuff. And you realize later on in life, when you get older, you realize they were trying to mask the pain that was going on at home, what wasn't happening at home. Sure. And, I think that we do that in the church. We're so afraid that if people really saw who I was, they wouldn't like me.
Yeah.
And social media is a terrible place for that to happen. We do that all the time. Selfies, you're like, you got to get the right angle so you don't have that double or triple chin, and all these things because we want people to see an embellished form of who we really are.
Yeah.
And I think what Jesus is saying here, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be truthful. Be people who are of integrity, people who you are. Because 1 John talks about that God sent his son. Into the world to redeem the world. And we read about that throughout the New Testament. That's what that is the gospel message, that God became human and walked among us. But he did it as the perfect example of humanness, but he also did it, his death and his resurrection did that to cover the sins of our untruthfulness. And a lot of times I think what brings about the lack of integrity in all of us is fear.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I was thinking about, Robin, when you're talking about it. Back to what Phil said, those two points of, I'm going to pray for you. I know we say that, and I know we mean it, but sometimes we say it because we're like, I know I need to say this now. So my integrity is the part of me that happens when no one's looking this case, and that is that, do I really pray? Right? Am I saying a word at church, or am I, exaggerating a little bit or fudging a story or something to make myself look better? Because I want you to think that I am more than what I am.
Yeah.
Integrity is such a big deal in the military. And one of the things that we always look at is, you're evaluated every year on your integrity in the military.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. In your evaluation, we get an annual evaluation, and integrity is part, because it's our core values. It's part of what you're evaluated on. And I want you to think about that. Somebody is literally looking at you and saying, I'm going to evaluate on your integrity, your honesty. And that is what we as Christians want. I mean, we're like, we need to be the ones who say, hey, I'm going to be that. When I pray, I'm going to pray now.
Yeah.
When I'm saying, I want to bless you, that I mean that. And it's more than that. And it really kind of goes back to when I became a Christian and I stood in front of other people and I said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he is my Savior, and I'm baptized. And that oath from that moment forward says, I'm going to live in this way. And we strive to live in that way. That's really what we're talking about, as opposed to, saying, well, I can one up you by saying, well, bless you, Phil.
Yeah.
Bless you. I'm going to be there with you.
So,
and am I really going
to
be there?
But it
with
comes
you?
Back to the, all of this is, Jesus is addressing using things for our own gain.
Good,
right?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
For
our
self
own gain.
Aggrandizement. If it's for lifting myself up and making myself better than maybe I need, than I actually am. Mm-hmm. And there's no need for that. God is just saying, be who you are.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many times I'm thinking, how many times I've done stuff like this, and said these things. And God, the military may kind of judge you and assess you on integrity, but God does that all the time.
All the time.
Right. And I wonder how many times he's just looking at me going, oh, Phil.
Yeah.
And I know he loves me, but I know he wants more of me than that, to be willing to not need any other person or entity to make me feel good about myself than him.
Yeah.
I...
Yeah.
I just need to be able to say yes and no. And people know that that will be what it is, you know?
And just thinking about, so what changes that? Like, what is the thing that is our conversations we have with other people? What is it that makes our integrity real? And, you know, I mentioned 1 John. I just want to read that let us love one another. For love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. We skip down this. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Like, we want to know and be fully known. That's part of being an authentic human that God has created us to be. And yet we struggle to be that.
Yeah.
And what's beautiful about this is that if God so loved us, then we should love one another. And later on, he'll say, there is no fear in love. Yeah. His perfect love drives out fear. Yeah. And it is really, really easy to say that I'm going to be my authentic self whenever it's people I don't know.
Yep.
And I'm not really authentic because I don't really love them and I don't care, which is a problem. Mm-hmm. I should love people enough that I can go, I'm going to be really who I am. And I'm a messed up guy.
Yeah.
I've got problems and I may look good and, you know, I look good on social media. I may look good in front of people, but I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
And I think the beauty of the oath, and you mentioned it at baptism, when we decide to give our life to Jesus, it is me saying, I am no longer my own.
Yeah.
I am pledging my life to you, which is what you did in the military oaths.
Yep.
To a certain degree, it's similar. Oh, yeah. You were saying, I am pledging to my something life. Much bigger than me. I am giving my life to something much bigger than me. Yeah. And I am joining glory. I am going to speak in love. And man, what a difference the church would be. Think about church conflicts. Oh my gosh. How different would it be if we spoke to people in love without trying to blow things out of proportion? How many times have we said, well, several people have told me this. I've used that. And it may have been one person or several people in my head. You know, we blow things up instead of being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what the world would be like in this kingdom ethic that Jesus is throwing out there. Imagine what our churches would be like if we were just people who let our yes be yes and our no be no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What would happen? I think there was a movie on this, 1,000 words.
Yeah.
What if you only had 1,000 words?
That's it.
Yeah.
Would it change what you said? You know?
Yeah.
And I think the truth is it would, because we no longer have that pretense. We would say what we meant to say because it's all we had to say.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think we need to spend more time. This goes back to James when he was talking about anger, right?
Mm-hmm.
But more so there, he was saying, what are we? Listen.
Quick to listen.
Quick to listen.
And slow to speak.
We reverse that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're quick to speak.
Quick to
and
get angry.
Slow to listen.
Yeah.
And therefore, because, again, it's back to I'm wanting to make myself. When Robin and I will be talking sometimes, and I know he doesn't know I do this, but he'll be saying something, and then I'm already thinking about what I want to say, so I've already stopped listening to him.
Yeah, I do that to him too. So.
I think we do that to people.
Like, how am I going to rebut that or answer that?
Yeah.
But the point is, guys, this morning, we really want to pull what Jesus is saying here. If God can say of himself that he is the I am, can you? Mm. Can I?
Yeah.
Can I look at myself and be able to just say, I am, and my word is a part of who I am.
Yeah.
And I don't need to say anything else about it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to be reminded that this isn't something you do on your own.
Ooh, no.
And this isn't something that you capture and are able to probably never. but it's through the power of God's Spirit that you're able to do this. And so, you know, one of the things that we up here, we'll talk. We can talk shop all day. We can talk Bible. And, you know, especially Phil and I, we can get into some nerdy moments. You guys don't know that about me. You know that about him. You don't know that about me. We can get into some deep, nerdy moments. When it all comes down to it, talking about it's one thing, but how are you going to do something about it?
Absolutely.
And the God, as we talked about the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning at the end with the wise man, the foolish man, Jesus isn't saying these words just so that we can read about them and talk about them and think, oh, that's nice. He's saying, I want you to put this into practice. And the way that you're able to do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit comes to you when you make an oath that I am dying to myself and I'm going to be buried and I'm going to be raised again. And that Holy Spirit comes to you and lives within you and works within your heart and speaks to you and speaks to the Father for you. And so, you know, if you don't know that, you know, what Brian Reynolds said, thank God that he sees through Jesus's eyes.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. And I like what Kat said there. Yep. The military judges through my integrity by my words and actions.
Yes.
God judges my integrity by my heart and my mind.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I think
we want to make sure that we say, if you don't know Jesus, if you've not made that oath to him that I am going to give my life to you, man, that's something we want to help you with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, social distancing obviously is not being a thing that we're observing very closely right now. That's not going to stop us from stepping into a baptistry with
you. That's right.
We would love to walk with you in that, and we would celebrate. We would get curbside pickup or something, but we want to celebrate in that way. But we also, the kingdom of heaven celebrates when someone says, I pledge my life to Jesus Christ. Yeah. And we don't want to miss opportunity. So, I mean, if this is something, I know I'm kind of like taking this, but if this is something that you want to talk to somebody about, you can call our church office. You can right now, whatever, if you're on any of those particular, if you're on platforms, Facebook, you can send a message
whatever.
To us. Yeah. You can comment. You can say, hey, I'm interested in talking to somebody, and we will follow up, I guarantee you.
That's an oath that Jesus wants you.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate that. I was thinking about that. And you were saying that whole part about, you know, we don't do this by our own power.
Right.
Our yes being a yes and our no being a no can only come from the strength that Jesus Christ puts in us.
Amen.
In living in our lives. And I never really, you know, when you think about those two oaths I mentioned this morning, it closes up by saying, so help me God. In other words, God's got to help me do that in my life to really honor the oath that I have for him. So for my yes to be a yes, and for my no to be a no, I need God to make me a man of integrity for him each day.
Amen.